I'm remiss. I'd like to thank everybody for coming today, by the way, and we look forward to your to the testimony of the three proposers and public comments. And so with that, before us, we have participant number one, which is Pentex, and the microphone is yours.
Okay, great. We're getting the radio here.
Can I just leave this?
You can point it towards you. That's really... There you go.
This is if we have a positive chat, we need the radio.
Whoever's got the radio, can you please turn it? I think somebody put this on hold. So we are going to mute it.
Turn the volume off.
I will have them in the other room let us know when whoever put us on hold takes off so we can turn that on.
Thank you, Corinne. So if you please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, the other board members. My name is Dan Britton. I'm the president of Pentex, as well as the president of the other entities you'll hear about today. On my right is Hendrik Kroll. Hendrik is with EBF & Associates, who is the manager of the fund that owns 85% of Pentex. So they're our majority shareholder with the Pentex group. Thank you for having us here today. We look forward to the opportunity to talk to you a bit about our proposal, some of the things we've done in the past, some of the things we're doing now, and what makes us uniquely qualified to be partner with data on this important project for the state. Just by way of background, Pentex Alaska is the parent company for several entities. The one that you're probably most familiar with is Fairbanks Natural Gas. We also have a company, Arctic Energy Transportation, Polar LNG, and Titan Alaska. These are all wholly owned by Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company. Fairbanks Natural Gas is the local gas utility which serves much of the Fairbanks area today. Titan Alaska owns and operates our LNG facility that provides LNG to Fairbanks Natural Gas. This facility is located in Point McKenzie in the Cook Inlet, where we're currently purchasing gas out of the Cook Inlet and producing LNG on a daily basis for the Fairbanks market. Arctic Energy Transportation owns and operates LNG and CNG, compressed natural gas, fueling infrastructure for use in the transportation industry in Alaska. We'll talk a little bit about why that's important as we move forward. And Polar is the entity that we have been developing the North Slope LNG plant for the past 4 or 5 years. A little bit of brief history. FNG was formed in 1997. We constructed the first LNG plant, our first LNG plant, Fort McKenzie, and began serving the Fairbanks market via LNG by truck. In 1998, we constructed a small remote storage and vaporization facility for the Siri Talkeetna Lodge in Talkeetna, Alaska. And as we talk about the potential other markets that the LNG or areas the LNG can benefit, that small scale facility serving a 200 room lodge is important just to see that, you know, there is other opportunities for smaller communities to potentially benefit from the lower cost energy as well. And we have the experience owning and operating those facilities. From 98 to present, Fairbanks Natural Gas has been expanding a natural gas distribution infrastructure in Fairbanks, including the distribution piping, the storage, and the vaporization capacity to serve residential and commercial customers. We have about 1,100 customers in Fairbanks today. Beginning in 2007 was when Polar started the development work on the North Slope. So we're not new to this discussion. We were the first entity to begin developing an LNG plant in the North Slope. We have completed a significant amount of engineering and development activities. We do have a negotiated gas supply contract with ExxonMobil for a 15-year term. We have a site that we have been working on that is fully permitted. We were just issued a right-of-way lease from the state of Alaska for the pipeline necessary to bring gas to that site. Although through discussions with Ada, we've agreed to move to a different location at Ada's preference if we're chosen to continue to participate. But we have the experience in developing the facilities. The work that Polar has done on the North Slope is substantial in that we began working with an entity, Chicago Bridge and Iron, in cooperation with Golden Valley Electric. When the first capital budgets came back for a facility on the slope, they were too high, or higher than we felt that you could still achieve the goals of the community in Lower Cuff Energy and the goals of the consumers. And so we spent a considerable amount of effort and time re-engineering or value engineering the facility to where we are today, reducing the capital cost to a level that could provide benefits to consumers. In 2012, Arctic Energy Transportation constructed and commissioned two LNG fueling stations to begin providing fueling capacities for LNG use in transportation. And as you heard mentioned a little bit earlier today, the budget estimates being presented to you are using diesel fuel as the fuel for the trucks that will haul the LNG from the North Slope. There is an opportunity for significant savings by using the LNG to power those trucks versus the diesel fuel. We felt it important to prove that technology in Alaska and to begin actually having trucks that are powered by LNG haul LNG trailers in our existing operation. We wanted to get the experience and the operations knowledge behind us so that we could have an opportunity to decide to use LNG to truck North Slope product to Fairbanks and further achieve savings to consumers. In 2013, as you know, in January, we submitted a comprehensive proposal to ADA to participate in the Interior Energy Project. Our proposal is inclusive of the LNG facility, the transportation of the LNG, the storage, and the distribution to the end customer. We plan to participate in all aspects of the successful Interior Energy Project. We will be tied not only to the LNG production side, but also ensuring the market demands are there for the growth in the distribution system and bringing our existing market demand that exists today in Fairbanks. So we want to be part of the entire solution to the energy needs in the interior. In 2013, we received and placed into service the first two LNG-powered trucks to be used in Alaska. Those two trucks are used right now almost on a daily basis, hauling LNG from our Point McKenzie facility to Fairbanks and back. We're pleased with the results of those units and continue to evaluate the potential to use those on the North Slope project. But it's important to note we made that investment up front to make sure that when the time came, we had the necessary information and knowledge to know whether or not we could go out and, you know, make a significant investment of 30 LNG trucks and be able to rely on them to provide the service necessary to move LNG from the North Slope to the interior. So we're well on our way to be able to make some of those commitments. In 2013, we did a unique project, and I note this one again to support the idea that LNG could be used for alternative markets and benefit more areas. We provided Co-Alaska an temporary asphalt plant that was doing a road project on the Parks Highway with LNG as its fuel source instead of them using diesel. So improvement to the environmental emissions from that facility, and Co-Alaska saved some money compared to diesel, and it worked well. So again, that's a potential for a seasonal market. Mr. Wilkin asked a question about the capacity utilization, 9 BCF versus the 6.6. If we can have some seasonal markets where you can use the excess capacity in the summer to sell to some of these markets that don't necessarily need capacity in the winter, we have an opportunity to improve the economics for all of the consumers. So we've been actively engaged in working to find those solutions and make sure that they could be technically complete. Just a quick snapshot of our existing LNG plant in Point McKenzie. Currently, we're producing about 50,000 gallons per day of LNG, and we operate that facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, during much of the year. In the summertime, it's currently idled for some days, as again, we don't have the market demand necessary for the full plant output in the summer. FNG or Pentex currently operates 14 LNG transports to deliver the LNG to three of our storage and vaporization facilities, two in Fairbanks and one at the Siri Lodge, and now we actually have two other facilities in the fueling stations, one in Big Lake, one in Fairbanks. Each LNG trailer contains about 9,500 gallons of LNG or 800,000 cubic feet of gas. Just to put that in perspective, that's enough heat to heat 30 average homes in the winter month. So there's a substantial amount of energy in each transport. Right now we're completing about 6 deliveries a day at a minus 40 degree temperature in Fairbanks. So we have hauled millions and millions of gallons of LNG in Alaska. We produce the LNG, we transport it, we store it, and we've delivered it to customers. And we've done so reliably and safely for the last 15 years. One of the important factors in LNG transport is how much volume you can get in a trailer. The more you can get in the trailer, the less it costs on a per cubic foot basis to then deliver to the customer. Our last two trailers that we owned, or excuse me, that we ordered them as maximized trailers for higher capacity. And so again, we wanted to order trailers that we felt would be used on the LNG transport from the North Slope, prove up whether or not we made the right decision in those orders, whether or not we got the access spacing right, whether the weights were as we expected, and if we could try and further maximize the efficiency of the transport. So in each aspect of this value chain that we talk about, we have taken the steps to do initial evaluation and make sure we're prepared. When we, you know, in the North Slope, when we move to a 9 BCF facility, we're going to be talking about an order for 40 LNG trailers. We want to get that order right. We want to make sure we get the highest level of efficiency possible and that those units are robust and have a high level of availability and ensure you can deliver to your consumers in Fairbanks. Moving on, we've got currently we own and operate 10 storage facilities in Fairbanks that provide all of the LNG storage and the vaporization feed of natural gas into our distribution system. We have about 340,000 gallons of capacity today or 5 days of supply during the peak of a winter month at minus 40. We have announced that we are developing and moving forward with the construction of a 5.25 million gallon storage facility. It will be located at the site that you see in this picture, which is an existing site that we have excess land available for. We are in the process of the financial work to bring that close, hopefully by the end of this year. And we'll be going to a full notice of proceed to construction early in 2014. That's an important component of this project in that we need to have a place to put the LNG and a place to be able to vaporize and deliver to consumers when the plant capacity comes online. We don't want the storage of LNG to become a further complication in the scheduling challenge. We want to make sure that a storage facility is there, and as soon as LNG production on the North Slope is available, it can be used effectively and efficiently. So we have issued a limited notice to proceed. We've acquired long lead time components for that tank and the low temperature alloys, and so that we can make sure that we can get that facility online by 2015. Just a quick shot for you of the Talpina Lodge, the LNG storage and vaporization. And as I said, what puts this into importance and context today is that the scalability of this LNG supply as an energy solution to not only larger communities, but there could be the potential for smaller communities and smaller areas where you can put in a small storage and vaporization facility to provide the benefits to natural gas. The two fueling stations that we've built, we have one in Fairbanks, there's a picture there for you. The LNG trucks that are hauling our LNG trailers from come and do an offload in Fairbanks. They will fuel their, then fuel their truck, and they'll head back to Point McKenzie, where they will fuel at our Big Lake facility, which is on the next slide. So those two facilities, although they only serve today our two LNG trucks, they are capable of serving many more trucks. So when the plant comes online from the North Slope, those fueling stations can support those operations. Other trucking companies in the state, they can make an LNG available to reduce their costs of fuel, and that can be a substantial advantage for the trucking industry. Fuel is a high component cost of the cost of service. The CNG fueling station and trucks, again, this just brings up the thought that we can have a larger market potential than space heat. There is the ability to benefit municipal fleets, bus fleets, through the use of CNG. You can see a reduction in emissions, you can see a reduction in costs. So right now in our own fleet in Fairbanks, we operate five pickup trucks that run out from compressed natural gas. We're making sure that, ensuring that the technology works well in the Arctic environment, and that when more product becomes available, we can look at ways that you can benefit through higher and better uses. Just going through a little bit of background on what makes us unique in Alaska and unique in our offering as we look at a potential partner to participate with. We have experience, past experience, current experience in the whole supply chain that we're talking about today, not just the production of LNG, but also the transportation, the storage, and the distribution system to an end consumer in Fairbanks, to their home through the meter. We are the only entity with an Alaska-based management team and employees currently operating all aspects of the LNG supply chain, including the production, transportation, storage, vaporization, transmission, and distribution. We've completed extensive development work on the North Slope LNG facility, including the gas supply, engineering, and permitting. This work has resulted in some significant capital reductions through value engineering and improved scheduling certainty. I think to a great extent, a lot of the work that's being evaluated is being based on the substantial engineering work that Pentec has done. The question was asked earlier, why the nitrogen cycle versus the mixed refrigerant cycle? We spent a lot of time evaluating that. We look at the operations in the North Slope. How do you ensure that you protect those facilities from nitrogen emissions? Well, we decided that we had to make sure that our components were inside a building. Well, if it's inside a building and you have a mixed flammable refrigerant, does that create risks that you want to accept or not accept? Is the benefits of the mixed refrigerant outweigh the risks? So we went through a substantial evaluation and chose the nitrogen cycle based on what we believe to be the most prudent operating parameters on the North Slope, both for efficiency, safety, reliability, and flexibility. The turndown ratio of the nitrogen facility is greater than the mixed refrigerant. You don't have additional flammable mixed refrigerants on site that you have to worry about. The nitrogen cycle is easier to operate, and your operators have less influence on the efficiency and the outcome of that facility. The mixed refrigerant, if your mixed refrigerant is not managed well and managed correctly, you can lose efficiencies very quickly in having a suboptimal mix. With the nitrogen, you take away some of those issues. So those are some of the things that we went through as we evaluated the North Slope to make sure that we had the right capital estimate, the right facilities, and the what we believe to be the most appropriate for operations on the slope. We have, Pentec has existing assets which can enhance and support the North Slope facility, including our Point McKenzie LNG supply system, the existing storage facilities that we can deliver LNG into today, the expanded storage tank that we're developing, and the transportation fueling infrastructure to support the potential of the LNG being hauled with LNG powered tractors. In addition, we have a market demand today. We sell approximately 900,000 MCF of gas annually to consumers. So we have a market demand in which to leverage upon and grow upon to ensure that the economic assumptions that are being made around the market can be achieved. Now, we recognize the need to provide economic relief and environmental benefits to Alaskans, and we are the entity that proposed the private-public partnership with AIDA in 2007. We proposed it then, we have supported it since, and we support it today. We felt that the LNG plant in the North Slope has been the right thing for some time, and that a partnership with the state could result in benefits to consumers and Fairbanks. Because of the work we've done to date, we can move quickly. We have an aggressive schedule that all parties, I think, want to achieve. But in order to achieve that, you need to have the background information and the work completed to date to be able to do so. And we are prepared to do that. It really kind of highlights some of our unique experience. I think to highlight some of the differences in the term sheet, or not necessarily the difference, but the strengths of our approach to the term sheet, are that our primary purpose from day one in developing an LNG plant in the North Slope has been to serve the Fairbanks North Scarborough energy market. That's our primary focus and what it is today. We do recognize that there's other opportunities that we can leverage upon to improve economics for that market base. The seasonal demand customers, the transportation fuel to reduce costs and delivery to Fairbanks. We have those experiences and can work with AIDA as a partner to make sure that the interior energy plan or project goals are met. You can see in the rate of return expectations that we've set are right in line with the regulated utility model. We have agreed to full transparency from the LNG production on the North Slope to even if we create an entity that provides trucking services, that we've agreed to transparency and pricing to the preferred customers. Fairbanks Natural Gas will be under full rate regulation by the time this project comes online. So all of the deliveries to consumers in Fairbanks will be under a fully rate-regulated model, ensuring the benefits of state-provided financing or capital contributions flow through to the consumer, not to shareholder. The benefits of the low interest and the capital contribution, those go directly to the consumer in our proposal. We've committed to a build-up of a system that provides the market necessary to support the economics of the LNG plant in the North Slope. The two are tied very closely together. Without the supply, you can't build out. Without the build-up in the market, the supply pricing scenario and challenges can be very difficult. We have committed to build out the infrastructure in Fairbanks. We've committed to and all requirements to purchase LNG from the North Slope, and even some take-or-pay components. So we are committing to do whatever we can to make sure that the market is sufficient enough to meet the goals of the interior energy project on the North Slope LNG plant to achieve what we all want to achieve, lower cost energy to the consumers in Fairbanks. And those two play very closely together, and we're committed to both. We have the experience, we've got the management team, we've got the staff. This is not new for us. We do this every day in Alaska. Every day we produce, transport, store, vaporize, and sell to consumers. We do so at minus 40. We do and have done so with a very a great safety record and reliability. So we have the systems and the people in place to grow upon that, and we look forward to working with David to actively achieve the goals of the Interior Energy Project. And I thank you for your time this morning and your commitment to this project.
Thank you. I'll open it up for questions, Susan.
Thank you for the presentation. Can you add some more detail to information you provided in Exhibit B and Exhibit C discussing the minimum takeout schedule and the build-out schedule? This, I'm particularly interested in the that initial gas commitment and just thinking about how we grow, amplifying your comments about the demand and the point outside. So just to augment what we see here.
So in Exhibit B, what you see is our minimum pay commitments, our take-or-pay commitments that we would make for the time from North Coast. So in the contract year one, you know, the numbers are there for you, it'd be 0.25 BCF. And the primary reason that's relatively low is we're anticipating that the, you know, the project's going to come online late in the year, and that we want to make sure that we haven't made commitments that if there's any delays in the plant coming online, that, you know, we have some flexible room. So that's why the first year is as far as the commitments are a little bit lower. So what we've done here is then in the years 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on, made a base level of commitment that we think will exceed the market demand. We wanted to make sure that there was some predictability for volumes for the North Slope, which we can finance on, but not overly burden our customers. When we make a commitment, we also have to be careful not to overly burden our equity customers. It's not a commitment that is of value to them. So that's kind of where those commitments have come into play. We feel very strongly, and I think most do, that the market demand will be there. This is only based on the FNG side, the distribution in Fairbanks. And as we talked about, there's some of those other opportunities. And so that's really the commitment side. Did that provide any clarity, or not really?
If I can give a follow-on, just it helped frame that, because my initial reaction looking at the year one and year two is it's just, especially year one, it's less than your current sales. So I was trying to read into that what you were anticipating in terms of your existing patterns.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Thank you. Our existing plant provides a very valuable service, I think, to the project over time. And it is one where it can provide backup supply. So our commitments right now are for volumes above and beyond the capacities coming out of the existing facility. And so while we're in the term sheet level of discussions, it's difficult to integrate an existing asset into the overall project. But as from our point of view, we feel that the LNG ultimately delivered to consumers could be coming from potentially both locations at some point to create that level of redundancy, backup supply, and achieve the goals through the lower cost of the North Slope. So that's the reason why they're below our existing customer sales, because we see an integration of the two facilities. And to answer the second part of your question on the distribution build-out schedule, this was a schedule that I think really provides for a market demand that well exceeds the commitments that are on the previous page. As you can see, we're willing to make a substantial commitment for build-out in our existing area. Our existing service area has about 70% of the available market demand in Fairbanks, somewhere in that range. So that is the available consumption from customers, 70% of that ultimate consumption exists in our existing service territory. So as it relates to the economics of the LNG plant, it's very important to grow that existing market quickly and get gas available to those consumers. And we're willing to commit to make that happen, put the pipe in place to ensure that the market can come online. The following years are primarily targeted to the new service territory and the growth to make sure you get as much of the product to as many people as you can and that's the reason to agree to those commitments.
Okay. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Britton, thank you for being here. Ms. Grove, thank you for sharing your time with us. We'll talk about the plant, $160 million plant quote. Two questions. I just want to get on the record that, Ann, that this $160 million, which you've supplied us with this sheet, is to today your best estimate of what this plant will cost, and that these numbers, your best estimate is current today. And I also note that this stack of money has a 12/10/12 date. So I would just like to have your thoughts on the currency of this and the fact that it is your best estimate.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, this capital estimate, as I said earlier, is a result of a substantial amount of engineering work we've done in value engineering. You can see on the source of the funding, you can see that much of the numbers that we've used are direct quotes from vendors, contractors, and things. So they're not just an engineering estimate. We took our engineering work and our estimate and went out and worked with vendors on achieving quotes for that equipment. In as you noted, Mr. Wilkin, in the date on this, on the last revision, was December 10th, 2012. What we have done in the last little while is been reached back out to the major vendors and suppliers and asked them about what's changed in the market. Are we seeing any major price escalations? Are we seeing any changes that we need to be aware of? And our responses back right now are that there has not been significant changes. We may see some slight inflation in some components as we move forward, although we do feel that we have some negotiating room yet in some of those quotes, in that when we move those from their quotation to a firm order, we have an ability to negotiate out potentially some of those where they might say, we'd like a 3% price escalator. We'll negotiate, say, hey, we've got the order here, we've been working with you for a long time, we need to know the prices where they were on their original quote. So we see a balancing happening with that. You will note in our estimate, there is a contingency of $20 million. Within the $160 million of
that
capital
estimate.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just following on to Susan's question about the build out schedule, and I'm just curious. Just a lot of the discussion around building out the distribution system in the Fairbanks area, and should somebody else get the partner with ADA to build out the plant on the North Slope, would you still be willing to purchase gas from the supplier? And then number two, I guess, would you still be willing to build out the distribution system in the Fairbanks area should funding be available for that?
We do have plans to build out the distribution system based on availability of supply at an economic rate. So if there was another proponent that can provide or do a better job than us in the North Slope, we can provide a lower cost. But we're actively looking to buy LNG today in the market and would do so. So yeah, and, if we could expand our LNG purchases, we would do so. With regards to the distribution system, we'd look to support the entity that if somebody else, if the Interior Gas Utility gets a service area instead of FNG, we'll look to support them for the producer of LNG. We would look to support them. And in the end of the day, integrating our system or something, there's going to be some of that that happens.
Thank you.
Crystal?
So just one further question about distribution is how many miles of pipe do you see being installed in 2014 and 15? What's your estimate?
Well, in 2014 and 15, based on the term sheet that we supplied, we've got 30 miles of pipe in existing service territory in 2014 and 75 in 2015, so it'd be a total of 100 miles of pipe in the 2 years. The 2014 number is, as we all know, time is ticking. We have to install 30 miles of pipe. We have to do a significant amount of engineering, right-of-way acquisition, permitting to be able to do so. So we need to be making some of those decisions soon. The pre-build of type in the distribution system is something you wouldn't do unless you were confident in the supply coming online. Otherwise, this, you know, any benefits you were trying to derive would quickly turn to a liability or detriment. Mm-hmm. If you installed pipes with no gas flowing through it, and you've got to amortize those costs somehow. And so you have to balance those, the two ideals. The reason for the pre-install in 2014 is to make sure that the market is as robust as possible to support the LNG plant the day it comes online. So it's, again, it's that balance act. You're trying to pre-install pipe so that you create an available market. Mm-hmm. So that you support the economics of the LNG plant. If you were looking at the economics of either one of those independently, you probably wouldn't pre-install pipe, mm-hmm. because you would wait until the right time, because it adds cost to that. Mm-hmm.
Wilson?
Just real quick, so I understand, on Exhibit C, the expanded service area, the 350 miles, is a function of, or driven by what the RCA grants.
Yes,
that's
the
correct.
Expanded service territory, would, the only way we would be allowed to install pipe in that area is if the RCA were to grant us our service area extension.
Okay. All right.
Crystal?
One other question I have about transportation, because that's a very big variable of cost here, especially for operations. What's been your analysis, the difference in operating costs between the diesel and the natural gas?
What kind of savings
are you seeing?
We see about $1 a gallon minimum potential savings between diesel and natural gas, and that's even heightened somewhat when you compare North Slope diesel to natural gas, because the North Slope diesel now, all that ultra-low sulfur diesel gets trucked from either Kenai or Valdez all the way up to the North Slope for use. So the North Slope diesel is more expensive than we even see in Fairbanks or in Anchorage. So there's, depending on how the trucking companies do their fueling and stuff, we could be seeing as much as $2 plus on an incremental fuel cost savings. Now the LNG trucks today have a higher capital component.
Right.
The two trucks we purchased had about an $80,000 per unit premium in comparison to their comparable diesel. But we're talking about units here that are going to be high mileage, high usage trucks. So when you look at the mileage thresholds and when you achieve your savings, you can be seeing a 2 to 3 year payback on that increment, and then seeing reduction in overall life cycle transportation costs to consumers. So the other component of that is we anticipate, as more and more LNG-powered units are used throughout the lower 48 and elsewhere, that capital premium component should start to ratchet down.
Thank you.
I got a couple quick questions on that. In your project budget, two things. Have you selected an engineer yet? I see owner's engineers.
We have been working with an owner's engineer since we first started the project. The company we've been working with is CHI Engineering.
CHI?
CHI, yeah.
Okay.
And they have substantial experience in the LNG industry and recent experience with the size LNG plant of this almost exact scale, in that they were the owner's engineer with Clean Energy that built a LNG plant in Boron, California at 85,000 gallon per day capacity train. We built two trains in the beginning and are adding a third right now. It's not already done.
And in your budget here, is the pad someplace in this quote, or this budget, is it under like generation? Where is the pad at? And
the pad lease would be follow under the in the dead horse installation work. We would have some of the pad lease think, within there.
Dead horse installed.
We've been leasing our pad for 2 or 3 years. It's about $140,000 a year annual lease.
Okay. So the lease.
The lease components that are to date are incorporated in our $5 million expended funds to date. So those are in addition to the $160 million.
Okay. So the additional $5 million. Okay. That's all right. So the capital cost to put the pad in is in at $5 million, and then the 140 is the lease back to DNR, or
the 140 lease payments to DNR.
Okay. Any questions, Gary?
Do you understand that ADA will require the ability to approve sale contracts for gas?
Do I? Is that a question?
Yes.
Yes.
How will your plant handle swing of demand for heating and winter through winter and summer?
So it'll be a combination of two things, and it's really how we operate today, is that we use our LNG production capacity to carry much of the swing. We also use some component of storage in that 5 million gallon tank we're installing that will provide some of that swing, some swing capacity. So the capacity design of the LNG plant at 9 BCF, that's your annual throughput available. Mm-hmm. But your daily production capacity is going to be about 300,000 gallons a day. And, you know, your average annual sales is probably somewhere in 150,000 gallons per day. So you use that plant capacity to deal with the swing. And as I said, what we try and do then is try and figure out ways to get rid of the swing. You know, is there a seasonal customer out there? Golden Valley has a baseload customer, is a beneficial customer to the LNG plants, a beneficial customer potentially to the distribution system, because their load is fairly consistent. Can Golden Valley switch to an alternative fuel during that peak demand period, and is that a better economic decision by, you know, having them switch, make excess LNG available to these seasonal demand during that time frame, or not? That's a component that we'll be working through. So it's a combination of storage, excess LNG production capacity, and then trying to maximize how you design your tariffs in your system. One of the things that we do today is we have interruptible customers. So customers like the school districts, the hospital, the university, they generally maintain an alternative energy source anyway. And so what we do is we interrupt them during the peak, maintain our supply and our storage for firm customers, and that gives you a higher utilization throughout the year on all of your assets. The interruptible customer gets a price break, so they receive a benefit. There could be years when they are interrupted. In the early years, they wouldn't be interrupted because you have excess capacity, but they get some benefits. But when you need it on that extreme cold day or an extended period, you have kind of, you have your tool bag. You know, you've got that excess production capacity, you've got your storage, and then you've got your interruptibility and some customer base. And that's generally how we view it.
Okay, thank you.
What do you use right now for backup for your Wasilla facility, energy facility?
Our Wasilla facility doesn't have a great deal of backup that I can talk to you about publicly today. But we have in the past brought some LNG out of the lower 48. And we can get LNG out of the lower 48. Now it takes time to get that LNG here. It can take as much as 3 or 4 days. But there is some available capacity both in Tilbury and Vancouver. There's some stuff in Wyoming. There's clean energy in California. There is the existing facility here in Alaska that still has the LNG in it. But in an emergency, could be utilized.
Is that why, backing into a 5-day storage you have in Fairbanks?
The 5-day storage was the agreed-upon storage capacity with the Regulatory Commission when the utility was first created back in 1997. So that's why we maintain that 5-day storage to, you know, if we do have a hiccup in the plant, we do have to repair something in the plant, we have some time to do so. The LNG plant that we operate today we have the ability to operate through a wide spectrum of production rates. We can, the way it's designed, we have, if one component fails, that doesn't mean we lose everything. We have, just to give you an example, two recycled gas compressors. If one of those recycled gas compressors fails, it has an impact on our production capacity, but it doesn't stop us from producing. We can still produce 35,000 gallons a day. We have redundancy in our ethane and ethylene and propane compressors. The same thing, if one fails, it has an impact, but it doesn't reduce our overall production capacity. So the facility that we operate today, we have a wide level of means to keep producing gallons.
And you anticipate that should you involved with the LNG facility on North Slope, that this plant in Wausau will continue to operate and provide product to the interior?
It could. Mm-hmm. We are anticipating that it would be beneficial for that to do so. Now there's, that plant could also be, moving LNG to other opportunities down closer to that area. Or it could be integrated and used as beneficial to the overall interior energy project. So I think some of those discussions have taken place at a broad level or a high level, but not necessarily all the way through the detail yet.
Okay. Any more questions of the board? Gary?
Is a pipe build-out for 2014 conditioned on Pentex building the North Slope LNG plant?
This commitment is a commitment to ADA. Okay, so that in that context, are we making a commitment to ADA to build out a system in relationship to an overall project? Yes. Will we make that commitment to ADA if we're not the builder of the North Slope plant? Probably not, unless maybe that becomes a condition on distribution financing that we would make some commitment on. Could be there, but we have the desire to build out the distribution system in Fairbanks, depending more LNG supply. Is this in what context is the commitment? Is a commitment made?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah,
Michael.
Mr. Chairman, we talked about an engineer for the project, but do you have a contractor or construction company you're planning on working with?
We do.
Okay.
We've worked with a group called Haskell. Haskell has completed a lot of construction projects in Alaska. Does some work on the North Slope. Haskell partnered with Alaska Anvil as the engineering firm. So Alaska Anvil is the engineer that's doing the engineering work with Haskell. Haskell would be the balance of plant contractor. They do the modularization of some of the components, those kinds of things. That's been our approach.
And just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, you just mentioned modules. That was my next question. I see module fabrication here, planning on to the maximum extent possible doing that in state?
The plan to date for us was to have that completed in Bellingham. We would be open to an evaluation of that. When we did this project budget, we're working on this as a private development. The local firms wanted way too much money upfront from us to participate in the engineering. And Haskell Anvil, to a great extent, made some engineering commitments upfront to be able to potentially get the project in the future.
Kerry?
Mr. Gardner and yourself both talked about LNG fuel sales. I'd like to know, how do potential LNG fuel sales fit into supplying LNG to utilities and interior industrial users first?
So what we've agreed to is that the preferential customers would have priority to the LNG, provided they make some reasonable commitments for that LNG. To the extent you have some excess capacity sold, you would have a potential to sell those out as excuse me, LNG fuels for the transportation industry. Now, the LNG used to fuel the LNG trucks that are bringing energy to consumers, that would be at the preferential pricing treatment, and that would be fully transparent. So we wouldn't be looking to make any additional margin through that intermediary piece. What we've further agreed to is that any sales to non-preferential, non-utility, non-space consumers would be, if there's a higher margin level, preferential margin, you sell to a fuel business or a consumer on the North Slope, that you wouldn't necessarily agree to sell at the subsidized pricing. That those sales would have a sharing mechanism. So Pentex, as the equity partner, would get a potential to have essentially some higher levels of earnings, but that some of those excess revenues would be shared with the utility customers. So if you find a seasonal customer that you can sell 2 BCF of excess capacity to, you would share those benefits. So you would use some of the higher margins to offset some costs to the utility customers, and some of those margins would go to the equity.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? I think that does it. And thank you for your presentation. And at this point, I think we'll break for lunch.
Thank you. How long, Chair?
Well, we want to at least and listen.